The mothership can't save you, so your ass is gonna get left. Yo, welcome back to another episode of Where My Killer Tape At, episode 142 to be exact. This episode, I bring back the big homie, Zemo, the older god, you know him, and we're gonna discuss the 25th anniversary of Erykah Badu's debut album, Baduism. Yes, it's been out for 25 years since February. Let's do this. Killer Tape At, B. Peace party people, welcome back to another episode of season 8 of Where My Killer Tape At. And of course I gotta bring the big homie, the older god, Zemo.
Well, yeah, Culture Cypher, we're here.
Because we can't call you that kid anymore, so it's like...
it's funny you said it. It's crazy, man, because I've always seen, you know, I've always been the younger guy around y'all, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So, but yeah, peace everybody, peace.
And then, and you know, it's relative because, like, I know a lot of times, like if somebody's 5 years older than you, it's a big deal when you're, you know, 20, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But when you're in your 40s, it's not really significant, you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, so, at this level we at now, yeah, but yeah. You gotta realize, so I met you through Johan, and I met Johan when I was 15.
Exactly.
And you're the same age as Johan, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that, to me, that was a big deal.
big difference. No, that was a big difference. It was a big difference.
Yeah.
So, which kind of like, I'm glad you brought that up because we're going to talk about Erykah Badu's first album, Baduism, which was released on February 11th, which Zemo kept reminding me literally since 2022 began. And in 1997, so we kind of missed it, but it's still the 25th anniversary of that album. But I want to put it to context when that album came out.
Okay.
Because we were kind of like, I didn't meet you yet, but we were running in the same circles.
Right.
So it's funny because when I went back to look do the research on it, the stuff that's outside, I didn't know that it went triple platinum. I knew it went platinum. I didn't know it went triple platinum. Like I knew it was big, right? Mm-hmm. But I know On and On, the first single came out in 1996. And it was late 1996. Yeah. And it was a huge hit. And I remember everybody playing it. And I was like, yo, this is really, 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 really dope. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring it into context because at that time, you know, Mary J. Blige was dominating the R&B airwaves. Rightly so. And
those first three, including the remix album, yeah, man.
Yeah, that's, you know, she was dominating it, you know, on the radio, on the streets, wherever you go. And I know that like a lot of hip hop heads had her on their songs, right?
Right.
So the reason why I want to bring that up is because you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, it was all about New Jack Swing.
Right.
And then that's how you
snuck hip hop in the club.
Exactly. And then Diddy came along and introduced Jodeci and Mary J. Blige, and he used a lot of hip-hop beats.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those artists sang over hip-hop beats, and it became a trend.
Right.
You know, it became a trend. So, but with Erykah Badu, who was discovered by Kedar Massenburg, and Kedar Massenburg is the guy that coined the term neo-soul, which a lot of these artists, like you know, Erykah Badu, D'Angelo, they were influenced by hip hop, but they were kind of like when they came out, everybody was comparing them. So, like for example, D'Angelo was compared to Smokey Robinson,
right.
Erykah Badu was compared to Billie Holiday. Yeah,
yep.
So like these artists were kind of like using they went back to instruments,
right?
But they're still using hip hop beats, but they were singing in ways that harkened back to that time, you know, Motown days and stuff like that. And that's why it was called Neo Soul. That's what the term was. He coined it, Kedar Massenburg, who's very important in that idea.
Yeah, I always say that this release was the last of the, I guess what we'd call the Neo Soul Holy Trinity, with D'Angelo's Brown Sugar, Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite. Yep. And then 97, you get Erykah Baduism. So it was 95, 96, 97, and then beyond. And the whole movement just went.
Yep. And then they hearkened in a whole bunch of new artists that, you know, continue to produce music today. People like Jill Scott.
Right.
You know, they produce music to this day and are considered giants, you know, in their own right. And again, all of these artists we're mentioning, they were compared to older artists before that time, you know. So, and I think that is important to put that into context.
Mm.
And I also want to address that. I think before I even get into that, I just wanted to say that this was before she did Tyrone.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tyrone, even though On and On was mainstream and it was played everywhere, Tyrone was even a bigger smash hit, but that was later on.
And then Tyrone was huge.
And then everybody started like dressing up like her at that time. Whereas before, you didn't see people doing that up until she did Tyrone with the Onks and all that stuff. Even though people were doing it, right? Particularly women in the Nation of Gods and Earths and women that are Rastafarians. They wore their hair like that. They wore the quote-unquote three-fourths of cloth,
mm-hmm.
you know, which a lot of gods make reference to in their songs. So, but I just wanted to put that into context. And the last thing I wanted to say about Erykah Badu was she was the viral artist before there was a viral artist, right? So she was doing stuff that, you know, she had all the baby daddies, you know, I remember when they found out that her locks weren't real locks, they were faux locks, and people just ran with it, and people were writing think pieces. This is before Twitter, before Facebook. She was doing that before then.
I'll agree with that.
Everybody has something to say. You know, she's not conscious enough, and she's not, you know, she's just using it. And there was like a lot of hate and a lot of, you know. So to me, she's one of those people that, like, so when she says something now, I'd be like, oh, she's always been that way. You know,
she's always been
a problematic fave since 1998. You know what I mean?
Why are y'all so surprised? she's told you who she was, like, from the jump.
From the jump, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I think she's somebody that does. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and get into it. My first question, of course, to you, Zemo, is how did you get introduced to Erykah Badu?
Probably, it's the same way that everybody else did with the On and On single.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the big thing about that joint was that beat, man.
Oh, my God.
You got to realize once we, I forget who got it. I think once I was hanging out with my man Melvin a lot. He was older than me, and he had a car. So he had the cassette single, and on the B side, it had the instrumental, bro. I'd be like, throw the instrumental on. And it was just, for a lot of us, it was the freestyle beat.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we freestyled a lot to that beat. I love the song, but I really have a lot of memories riding around the car with my friends, it being cold, you know what I'm saying? And us freestyling to that instrumental, because I just thought that beat was just awesome. And then I found out, you know, once I did my digging, I was like, yo, the dude that did the beat, he did beats for Stetsasonic, Tribe, you know what I'm saying? Probably some other people in Native Tongues is a white dude.
Cause I know Bob Powers.
Bob Powell
did some production on here.
Yeah, yeah, that,
he
that's
did
him.
Stuff for Tribe. Yeah, he did stuff for Tribe. Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That's him. That's him.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm just like, okay, this makes sense. This makes sense why I want to rhyme to this joint. You know what I mean? And I realized, like, after on and on, and then I'm trying to think if the videos or the singles were dropped before the album did. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it did. No, it did, because the single came out first. Because back then they dropped singles first.
Well, yeah. I know. Other Side of the Game and Next Lifetime were the singles that came after.
They came after the album was released, but On and On was the single that came out before the album, because the single came out in 96.
Okay.
So, like,
correct. Now I do remember copping this, and I still got it in front of me right now. I got the original press and the CD that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just remember just like, yo, I'm getting this.
Yes.
If this record sounds like this, then all the records on this album probably sound something like it or better. And then I found out she rolled with the Roots, and the Roots got production on here. I was just like, you know what? Yo, this I remember being a teenager. I remember this was my this is how I started my week. I listened to this album like every Sunday, whether I started my day or ended my day with it. Wow. I listened to this album on Sunday continuously for like a nice period of time, man. So yeah, Baduism was it for me. Like, you know, Brown Sugar was cool,
No, I love brown sugar.
I really wasn't on Maxwell like that, but this one right here, man. This one right here is the one that really grabbed me.
If there is an artist that it is an R&B artist that stays in my rotation consistently, like somebody consistently stays in my rotation, is Erykah Badu.
Yeah, man, she got you no wax. I mean?
There's
no wax shit in the catalog, man.
Exactly, and I was just about to say that. I was like, she doesn't put out wax shit. You know what I mean? Like, so she's someone that I consistently play all my playlists for my party. She's always in it.
Word.
And
some,
like
some records are better than others, but there's no wax.
True deed.
There's no wax shit. You know what I'm saying?
True deed. And I will say that re-listening to the entire Baduism. I'm like, it's aged very well.
It's still good, man. It's still so good.
But she's very clever in her writing. Which at that time a lot of R&B artists weren't really that clever. A lot of it was very teenagerish. So this kind of she really spoke to me. So I just wanted to put that context out there, what was going on at the time. But the Roots, James Poyser, Bob Power, Madukwa, Chinua. These were all the people that helped produce this album.
Right.
And Bob Power, you remember him from Tribe Called Quest. He's mentioned many times on their albums.
Right.
Bob Power, you there. Shout out to the homie Joseph Sloss, who he's a faculty member alongside Bob Power. Matter of fact, his office is next door to Bob Power. And every morning he gets a chance to say, Bob Power, you there. So like, I was like, yeah, that's so dope. So right. We're going to Rim Shot is the opener. And it's actually the closer. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say there's two versions of it though. Like one, one's kind of like the outro is clearly like the reprise. Like she's like doing a little bit more in regards to the ad libs and the scatting and the singing along with whatever the bass level vocal track is. You know what I'm saying? Like she's doing more on the outro. But yeah, I thought it was a cool intro.
I love it.
The bass lines all throughout this album are.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
They're sick. They're infectious. They're corona. They're everything. You know what I'm saying? but bro, they are so sick and deadly, man.
And I'm glad that you said that because like it really sets the tone for the rest of the album.
Right.
And artists out there, take heed because your intro really sets the tone for y'all. For your albums. You know what I'm saying? Like usually the intro will tell me whether this is going to be a banger or not.
She could have just started it with a song. Which would have been fine. But you know what? If you're going to really give me that experience or take me on that journey, intros are always cool.
And I'm going to say this. One of the few R&B intros that I don't skip over.
Right.
There's a lot that I skip over. This one, I've listened beginning to the end. Like, yeah, I don't skip over anything. Like, I listen to it and always dope. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I like how she starts it off. It comes off like it's going to be a session album. It's going to be sessions on here.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, all right. You're going to give me more of this. I'm with it.
Which sessions are just all about the feels, man.
It's
all about the feels. Like, what are the musicians feeling? Saying what's the vocalist feeling? At any moment, anybody could take the lead. The drummer could take the lead. The horn player could take the lead. Like, what I mean? And everybody just follow. You know what I mean? And true musicians and true artists know how to do that. They know how to weave in and out. They know how to, improvise. They know how to create on the spot. And they, I think a lot of, granted, that probably wasn't the case with this. I'm pretty sure these were all structured records, but still, what I'm saying? It's got that feel. It's kind of like how Jay-Z says, I don't write my rhymes. Well, that was a process to get to that point. It shouldn't sound like you didn't write anything down. It just sounds effortless. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
we gotta talk about that some other time with the Jay-Z writing stuff. We gotta talk about that. Like that's something that we gotta because I think that when people say, and I've heard artists say, I seen him write, like I seen him just do this and then write. He's a dope MC. We'll talk about it some other, because it's something we gotta analyze
for sure.
I believe his
process, but I think some stories people tell are hyperbole.
I think it's for sure. I think it's true. I think it's true.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah,
I know it's true.
It's very possible.
But if you listen to a whole verse, it's very incoherent and jumps around a lot.
Yeah, it's hip hop, man. Sometimes.
No. Because most. Because most artists when they write, they say, okay, this is the title of the song.
Right.
They kind of write, and it's like, okay, it makes sense. Like the right. story makes sense. Like verse one and verse two make sense. But with Jay-Z, verse one and verse two doesn't make sense. And it's because of his writing process that it does it.
We
can do it some of the time. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to do a deep dive on that later.
Yeah, we got to do a deep dive later. So, okay. All right. Anyway, then, of course, On and On, the single, which I never get tired of hearing that song. Just never, ever get tired of hearing that song.
Yeah, also, in the liner notes in the album, by every song title, it says inspired by.
Yes.
And I thought that was pretty cool because, you know, this one says inspired by the gods and the earths.
Yes, very much so.
And you can tell when you listen to the lyrics, you know, from the I was born underwater with $3.06. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, you might laugh because you did not do your math.
Your math. Yep, yep.
I'm just like, and keep in mind, this is around that time where I'm really, really like figuring out what Brand New being in Wu-Tang and everybody's talking about. Like, I'm putting it all together now. The puzzle pieces are coming together. Then a few years later, you know, my man, the Golden Guard left the lessons on my dresser. Like, so,
all of it. Like, and that was what, and again, that's why I wanted to put everything into context in the beginning, because that's what was going on around the country. People were really doing the knowledge. And I know, like, I was out in Virginia, I can't speak for nowhere else. I know that, like, we were out in Virginia.
Right.
A lot of us in the hip-hop community, some of us were gods, some of us were Hebrew Israelite. Some of us were, you know, Rasta. Some of us were, you know, Black liberation. Some of us, you know what I'm saying? Black power advocates. You know, we were all going to the same lectures and all that stuff.
Right.
So, like, we was all core, you know, we were building. So all of that just fit together to what we was already doing. You know what I mean? Like, and on kind of, like, reinforced that. Right?
Yeah. And it was mainstream, too.
Very mainstream.
It was mainstream, which kind of, like, was like, yep, see? See, yep. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like,
and they played it everywhere. Like, you heard it everywhere. Like, it wasn't. I don't even recall a jam where they didn't play that. I don't recall a barbecue where it wasn't played, or somebody driving on the street at least once a day. I heard it. Like, it was being consistently. It got mad airplay. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't just it wasn't just some record that I like.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? It was like that we like, that, you know, our crew like, that people like, community like. Yeah. So
it had a wide range of reach. For sure.
And then Apple Tree, which came after, which I'm gonna say this, like, Kedar Massenburg, Erykah Badu, everybody that was involved, like, again, we talk about this a lot when we talk about his old album. Sequencing is important.
Right.
And if you have a banger, it's real difficult to put a song right afterward that'll keep the listener's interest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Apple Tree kind of, like, because you're already hyped off On and On, Apple Tree brings you back to Planet Earth, right?
Right.
And that's why I like it. And it tells you a little bit more about who she is.
Right. It says inspired by my Ganny.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, man. Like, you're absolutely right. You know, she does get a, like, damn, man. Got the lyrics here, too.
And I got a confession to make on the lyrics. So I know that, like, for a long time, we know what she says, hanging out with my artsy friends. I used to think she said Yahtzee friends, and I used to be like, I never played Yahtzee. Like, am I not that cool enough to play Yahtzee? I gotta get some Yahtzee friends. My partner clowns with me on that every time I bring it up. She's like, oh, yeah, you thought I said Yahtzee friends.
I never thought that. I was about to bring up the line, I picks my friends like I picks my fruit.
Ooh, yes,
you know
yes,
what I'm saying? I was just like, bars like that are, you know, they're very simple because they've always been there. You know what I'm saying? But just sometimes when they're just fed to you the right way, it's like, oh, man, you know, yeah, you know, they're just that more digestible, and they, you know, they resonate a little bit more.
And she raps like at that. Oh, Erykah Badu can rap.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, she always talked about it, but here she does it. Right? You can see how she's writing. You're like, oh wow, she's spitting here. You know, she's spitting here. So, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm planting seeds so I reaps what I sow. You know, like, you know, just these are all old adages that you probably heard from the elders. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And she's giving it to you. And I'm guessing she might have been 25 or 26, maybe, when she did this.
I know she didn't finish college.
Right,
She had dropped out. You know, she did like 2 years. She had dropped out and then just been in the community performing, interacting and building with people. And then she started performing. So it was at first she was a rapper. You know,
In Texas.
So like in Texas. Yeah. So like, so you could do. And that's why I like this song. It tells you more about her. You're like, okay, who is this person? And it tells you a lot more about her. And she writes well, of course, you know.
Yeah,
A classic that everybody liked, and that I still love, Other Side of the Game, you know.
Produced by The Roots.
Yes, Peace Out to Revolution, you know, but we paid though. That was like my favorite line on that whole shit. Like,
I watched the video to this today, and I hadn't seen it probably since it came out, because I didn't have cable at the time. So
yeah,
I
saw it after the fact too.
Yeah, so I saw videos here and there back then. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I saw at that time in my life. I saw, because I wasn't watching a lot of TV. I didn't have cable too. I wasn't watching a lot of TV, so there's a lot of videos that to this day that I'm like, I didn't know they had a video for that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know.
But I like this video because, of course, it you know, back then it was like, oh, she's with Andre from Outkast. This is before.
But hold on. That's in the next Lifetime video.
It's an intro.
It's in both. Because Other Side of the Game is like an intro.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and then it goes into the next Lifetime. And yeah, right, but you're right. Andre was in it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is before we put the 3,000. He put the 3,000 at the end of his name. He was just Andre. You
know, yeah.
He was Andre from Outkast, you know.
Yep.
And I like this video because it's one shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The camera follows them wherever they go throughout this flat apartment. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Andre's clearly, he plays the dope boy, mm-hmm. the dope boy boyfriend. You know, his pager's going off and all this other stuff. They count the dope money. Whatever,
oh, wait
whatever.
A second. No. You're right. It is a video. It is a whole video. My bad.
But you're right, too. Is the next Lifetime kind of, in a sense, kind of continues it. And we'll get there.
Yeah.
But I just love the visual for this. And then in the middle of the song, like Andre's playing music and he hits like the remote to the stereo and it goes to is it Rimshot?
It goes to a quick clip of Rimshot. You're right.
And then he leaves. You know, he got his little duffel bag. You know what I mean? He leaves, and then it goes back to the song, and it finishes mm-hmm. out. She takes off a head wrap, reveals her hair and all that other stuff. I was like, yo.
I'm glad you said that, because I saw that video 10 years after the fact. That's why it has to stay in my memory. I saw Next Lifetime video when it first came out, but I didn't see Other Side of the Game until like 10 years after the fact. And I was like, oh, I didn't know she had a video for this.
I thought it was good, because you realize that she could have done maybe like the typical visual, you know, maybe like from a narrator standpoint, and then we see said hustler character. But I think the fact that because she's singing it from the perspective of the woman that's with him.
Yes, the partner, yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So to see them in their, you know, their natural habitat, which is their crib. You know what I mean? Like, yo, the hustler's got lives too. You know what I'm saying? Like, he waking up in the bed next to his woman, just like most men, waking up, taking a shower, getting dressed, and going to start his day.
And I'm glad it wasn't like a typical, like, you know, there's, you know, mad blunts and everything everywhere. Gucci this. It was just like a regular, like, how we was living. You know, like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, who knows what his actual hustle was, per se.
True indeed.
You know what I mean? It's left up to the viewer. And, you know, I don't know. I love this record. I love the visual. And back when you found out that they were together, it's like, oh, you kind of love that too as a fan.
It was a dope. It was a dope pairing. Dope pairing. Yep. Yeah.
There's a part where Andre puts his head to her stomach, and you know, you hear the heartbeat of the baby. I'm not sure if she was actually pregnant at that time.
At the time, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but you know, we know she later would become pregnant with Andre's child. But great record. Like you said, we said, Peace Out to Revolution.
But we paid though.
Yeah. We paid though. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, man.
Yeah. But I also like the fact that she humanizes him. You know, he's like, oh, I was there for graduation. You know what I'm saying? He comes from your family. You know, but we got to do what we got to do. Like, you know, like, this is our situation now. Which is actually like relevant today. Like, you know, we see all these inflation, super inflation, gas prices going up. You know, there's a shortage of formula, there's a shortage of tampons, there's like all these things that there's a shortage of.
That'll draft people to do things that they normally wouldn't do.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So very relevant. Very relevant. Yeah.
For sure.
And then the next one is Sometimes, which comes off, is an interlude.
Yeah.
And again, a dope way to segue
to the next joint.
It's the next lifetime, which I was just like, oh, because it could have easily just went right into it, like the video.
Yeah, I was, you know. I got one thing to say about this though. What's that? And because we were talking, we praised the sequencing of albums, and I just always thought, I mean, as cool as it was to get this quick little snippet of this record, because you know the full record appears later on the album.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, why couldn't we just get the full one right here at this point right here? You know what I mean? I think it would have. I'm just being nitpicky at this point, right? Why couldn't we just get the full record right here, not giving us the second version of Certainly and ended it with Drama? You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. That's a good. You know, I think that's a good argument. I just said this is where. The interludes is where the comparisons to Billie Holiday come in.
Right. Okay. Boom. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I took it out. Like, okay. Because I was like, because I remember when she first came out, it was like Billie Holiday, and I was like, well, she only has one song, so I don't know where you guys are getting this. Right. You know, but at the time, I'd never seen it perform live.
I think it's because her vocal range, and she's very and the type of music that she was singing over as a, you know what I'm saying.
Well, it's very bluesy, right?
Yeah. She's like, not
especially.
She's not a singer.
Afro. Yeah.
Yeah, she's not a singer like a Patti LaBelle or somebody like that. You know, she's not hitting strong, loud notes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's probably where that comparison comes from.
Yeah, and you know, like it's very bluesy, like especially when you get into Afro. Even Rimshot. Rimshot is a little bit bluesy.
Very much so.
Very bluesy.
The bass lines, man.
I think that's where the comparisons come from. But at the time I hadn't seen her live. So it was like people that seen her, critics that seen her live was like, oh, Billie Holiday. But it wasn't until I got the album where I was like, oh, okay, I see the comparisons, you know.
Right. So, see, this was a cool little interlude, like you said, to get to Next Lifetime.
That time, yeah. So, and you know, again, it probably would have been doper if they did just like the video where they went from Other Side of the Game into Next Lifetime.
Right.
Like, you know, like it probably would have been a doper sequence, you know, in hindsight, you know.
Yeah, because...
But Next Lifetime is another one that a lot of people really dug, like on a mainstream level.
Yeah, it was big.
And, and for this album, there was three singles. It was On and On, Other Side of the Game, and Next Lifetime, and they were big.
Good job picking the singles for this album.
They were big. Sure. They were big. Each one was big, and it really cemented her as, you know, a writer, good writer, you know, a very good writer. And a lot of people was just like, wow, with Next Lifetime. It was like, you know, that's how I feel. That's literally how I feel about some people that I had relationships with.
Right.
You know, see your next lifetime. You know, like
as much as I might want to, it's not meant to be right now. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe we tried it and, you know, hey, it didn't work.
Yeah. So, and I think a lot of people could relate to that.
Yeah.
You know, like it was really like, and I remember having a lot of deep dive discussions with this song with people.
Yeah,
you know
what
I'm saying?
Because like just even before the vocals dropped, just the conversation her and the guy are having.
Yeah.
He's like really kind of pressing her, like, yo, I know you feel me. You know what I'm saying? You know, and she's just like, yo, I'm in a situation. I got this relationship. Ease up, son. like all this pressure, like, you know, because, you know, she probably feel the same way he feel.
But, exactly. You know,
but I love the video for this. I watched it again. Like I said, I watched all three videos today before the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Because I was just like, I remember the videos being dope, but I don't remember them. Kind of like you said, like I just wasn't watching that much TV back then. I mean, I was, but I wasn't. And I think it's kind of cool because, you know, it starts off, you know, you're kind of like time traveling.
Yes.
You know, it starts off in the 1600s and in Africa. And then there she's with Andre.
Andre, yep.
And, you know, they've got a child. But you always see old Pete Rock creeping off in the distance.
Yeah. Yeah, because Pete Rock is in it. Yeah.
Pete Rock's eyeing her, but then you know, second verse we travel to the 1960s.
And she's
with Pete Rock.
Pete Rock, yep, yeah.
You know, which is kind of, you know what I mean? Like I thought that was so cool. But then
that was dope. Yeah.
And then, but now all of a sudden, oh, we see Method Man over here. Looking at her. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you know what I mean? Like I just, it was just kind of cool how they really.
I thought it was dope.
they honed in on the actual concept of the record, like, you know, like, and should you believe in reincarnation or whatever, like, so hey, just, you might have to wait 100 years and maybe you'll be with them then, you know?
Yeah. and again, one of the few videos that really like stand the test of time that you could watch and be like, oh, this is ridiculous. He's not, there's some videos that I watch from back then. I'm like, it's fucking ridiculous. What the hell is he thinking? Bruh, you know, my kids clown me. They'd be like, dad, y'all was watching this, y'all was pumping this. And I'm like, bruh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. a lot of it's embarrassing at times. But then it ends it back in Africa in like the year 3000 or something like that. And there's like some sort of like, I don't know, let's just call it like a choosing or mating ceremony or something like that. And she winded up with everybody. Like, yeah, you know
Which should have told us how she got down, right? Like, it should have, like, you know.
Right. Like, yo, this woman has children by three of the dopest MCs ever, bro. Like, I mean, she's, I don't know.
And by the way, DOC's interview with Talib Kweli, that was dope.
I still haven't seen it yet. People's Party.
Made me cry. Right. But it was really, really dope. Like, it made me cry. I was just like, damn, dude, I didn't know it was gonna make me cry like this. But yeah, it was really dope. Like, it was really, really dope.
Definitely gotta check that out. They got Marvel's What If. Like, it's always, you know what I'm saying? Like, the DOC is, to me, is always the biggest What If in hip hop.
Because
I hate to get off course, because my thought is always, had DOC not gotten that accident, I think The Chronic might have been his album.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know people don't talk about it a lot. The Chronic would have been his album.
Yes.
Period. Because I don't think Dre would have been like, yeah, I need to do this. You know, like that. You know what I'm saying? But anyway.
No. And that's, I mean, just check it out. I just had to big it up because, man, it was just, there's a lot of history there. Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff that we knew and some things we didn't know about. I just thought it was a really good, but you know, Talib Kweli brings that up. He was like, you know, you could have, you know, you were like, he's like, you're very, he was very influential in the city. Like, yeah.
And for those that don't know why we're bringing up the DOC, he's the father of Erykah Badu's first child. So.
Yes.
just in case.
It's his second child.
First one.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here it goes. DOC, Andre, J Electronica.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then we get into Afro, which
Dope skit.
It was dope. And I remember like back then a lot of comedians used to joke clown this one. Right. But it was a dope skit. And this is the one that really, the Billie Holiday comparison is spot on this one right here. But it's a dope joint. You know, like, again, her interludes are dope. And this one just really stood out to me.
Jones, girls used to sing this to me in high school all the time.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I had the fro at the time. And, you know, depending on whether I picked it out or not, it would be flat on one side. You know what I'm saying?
Like, so you used to do the ODB thing where you had one side braided and one side afro?
It's funny because, like, the texture of my hair is, like, when I sleep, like when I wake up, like it's flat on both sides and the fro is pretty much all at the top. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it's weird. So like sometimes I just get up and I just run my fingers through my hair and just go. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you realize this is back in the rugged, baggy.
Rugged days.
So I didn't care. So you need to pick your Afro Zemo. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like the girls thought they was big. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, I used to hear it all the time.
It's hilarious, bro.
Yeah, man.
Somebody got to put that on their show. You know what I mean? So, the next one is Certainly.
The baseline, again,
just like another session joint. Like, I really love this joint.
Session joint. That's exactly what this sounds like. In this case, the person playing the bass led this session, bro.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's how the album comes off to me. Like, here's a song that we finished in the studio, but let's do another session. Here's a song we finished in the studio, but here's another session. You know what I mean? And it was just like, oh, I'm really loving it. Because she's setting us up for the next song. Right.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know,
no doubt. Yeah, I love when artists do that, man.
And then Four Leaf Clover again. Her writing again. She talks more about herself. She reveals more about herself.
I always thought that this one could have easily been a single because it's a remake.
Yes,
it's a remake from the Atlantic Star joint. You know, that's why I was like, I was praising the choices of singles because they could have easily just let's just choose the Atlantic Star remake. You know what I mean? Let's put that out there. You know what I mean? But. They just left it as an album. Cause I thought it was kind of dope. I mean, I didn't find out it was a remake till like later on. After digging in the crates a little bit more. Exactly. I mean, I'm familiar with Atlantic Star, but once I got familiar with their catalogs, this is dope. Mm-hmm. I see why she wanted to remake this joint.
And then the next two joints, I kind of like they always came like together for me. No Love and Drama.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So I don't want to cut you off.
Go ahead.
On No Love, in my notes, I just wrote lyrics in all caps with three exclamation points next to it. Bro. I was like, the lyrics, bro.
And again, you could tell that she was an MC. You know what I mean? Yeah. And let me say what sets her apart is that a lot of R&B singers, they usually have writers. Other people that write for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very I hate to say radical. It's very radical for a woman in the R&B industry to come up in there, write her own stuff, and sing and also co-produce. You know what I'm saying? And she did all of that. So she was ahead of her time with that. Now you see that happen more often, but back then that wasn't really a thing. Everybody usually, Mary J. Blige is a good example of that, right? Other people wrote for her, did productions for her.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's always been the industry. That's how the industry always operates. You know, usually you have the singer, usually have a writer, a songwriter.
You got the team.
You got the team. So that's not, you know, but it's very even more rare for a woman to do that in the R&B industry. Yeah.
Yeah, because they usually just want, I mean, you have less control over somebody that can do their own thing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. And so when she, because she helped with production on the album, did the vocal arrangement. Keep in mind, she sang all the background vocals on this joint too.
Yep.
I'm gonna be honest, like all the background vocals, that's her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, the writing and the lead vocal, man. Like I said, you can see straight through me, never thought you'd do me the way you do. How could anyone be so cruel when you know I love you? Yes, I do. It sounds so simple, right? It sounds so simple. But the next part says, misunderstood, turned your back on me and left me lonely. I wish I could open up my heart so you can know me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the same person she talking to, y'all. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
And then the chorus, yeah, don't show me no love.
Yeah, don't show me no love.
I'm like, those bars were heavy. Even as a teenager hearing them, I'm just like, whoa, man, I want to be that guy. sounds like nobody knows what they want.
I appreciate it, which is life. You know, because a lot of R&B, particularly at that time, was very playful. You know, there was very few, if they were serious, they were ballads. If they were serious, they were slow joints that you had to listen to, that you don't just play, you listen to you by yourself or with your partner. You know what I mean?
They were very serious, I hate to say it, standard cookie cutter I love you joints I can't be with you joints, the breakup joints.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're exactly right.
Yeah, they never really got too honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, too honest. That's why, like, records like I said, like Next Lifetime or even to this joint, No Love. That's why they ring so loud, man. Like, you know, not too many singers were really singing like this, or singing like this.
The subject matter,
and addressing it the way that she did.
Exactly. So for me, like at that time, it really helped me. This album really helped me shape what I was looking for in a partner. And I know there was a lot of superficial stuff with the head wraps that I was into at the time, but I knew that it was something that was deeper. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this album really helped me, like, okay, what do I want in a partner? Like, what, these are the things that I kind of like want in a partner. And I know it sounds far fetched, right? But
you could find inspiration for different aspects of your life from anywhere, man.
True indeed. So that's why this album is a big deal for me. Really, all her stuff, but this one in particular.
Yeah.
So
this record says, inspired by imbalance, created by confusion.
Mm.
I'm like, you see what I'm saying? Like, imagine being a teenager. Like, I'm like reading all this, reading the lyrics, listening to the record, like trying to process it all. I mean, I don't know nothing about being in love. You know what I'm saying? Man, I just know what I see around me, and I know what I hear, and you know, maybe what I see on TV or whatever. It's like, man, heavy stuff, man. Very heavy stuff.
And then with Drama, which is relevant for today. Like, this is like today. It talks about apathy, political apathy, political and social apathy.
Yeah.
And things that we need to do. Like, we need to wake up, pay attention. And what I liked about this song is that it wasn't preachy. She didn't hit you over the head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is a song that I definitely appreciated more so when I got older, mm-hmm. versus maybe back then. I mean, I liked it, but, you know, just now that I'm very more, you know, mature and just aware of really what's going on around me. Just like, mm-hmm. yeah, she was telling y'all back then, you know, teach your children wisdom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yep.
Like, for real,
fantasy
for real.
People, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, we go on?
Yeah, fantasy people, make-believe people.
Yep.
Like, come on, man. Like, she called
you're
y'all out.
Still living. Yep, yeah. Like, yeah. I was like, there's a lot of apathy. Like, yeah, I feel you. And it's very relevant to today. Like, I was just like, man, this thing really aged well.
She's saying, yo, y'all blissful ignorance is crippling us.
Yes.
You know
yes,
what I'm saying? It's crippling everybody around you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, like, get it, like, really get it together. And me personally, I think, like I said, I think the album should have closed after this.
Okay. And you know what? Like, I feel you on that.
Keeping it all the way funky. Because sometimes it's after this, and it could have went before next slide.
Could have went before. You're right.
I didn't need two versions of Certainly.
Certainly. You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I think this was the perfect closer, because it's kind of like, I'm not comparing it to, I'm like, you know how, a lot of artists don't make records like this, but the ones that do, it's always big. Like, think about, like, Michael Jackson. With all his pop feel appeal, he still put Man in the Mirror. on something like a Bad album. You understand what I'm saying? Even like a Will You Be There on Dangerous. Like, he was still very, I mean, say what you say about whatever. You know what I'm saying? He was still very aware of like the type of messages that he wanted to convey in his music. And a lot of artists don't do that.
They don't do that, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they don't. Yeah. You know, but I'm still very of the Nina Simone cloth of like, yo, it's our responsibility to tell what's going on.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, and Badu does that perfectly with Drama. You know, and I think, like, yo, we should have just stopped.
And you know, I will say she could have taken out Sometimes and Certainly, and they just put the Rimshot outro.
Yeah, yeah, boom. Yeah, yeah. The outro was cool where it's at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, I think, yeah, but you're right. The Sometimes is like, yeah, you're right. You could have put that in right before Next Lifetime. And same thing with Certainly. You could have put it right after Afro.
I mean, I like that version of Certainly. It's cool, but you could have used that as a B-side. Mm-hmm. Gave it to a put it on, you know, do what everybody else did, put it on a soundtrack. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you
could have done. It's definitely as good as it is. Don't get it twisted. I'm not dumping on the record. I'm just.
I definitely don't take it as you dumping on the record. I took it as, you know, hey, that sequencing, going back to sequencing.
Yeah, man.
You know,
like,
going back to sequencing, I would have done this. I would have done. You know, you're right. No, you're exactly right.
Give me the full version of Sometimes before Next Lifetime.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
And I don't feel like that critique takes away from how dope you thought the album was. There's a lot of shit that we could critique, whether we're talking about Star Wars: A New Hope, or,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But we still love it. It's not like we don't. So definitely, I don't take that at all.
Yeah, so should Erykah Badu ever hear this? Like, nah. I love the album. I'm just saying, like, just for sequencing purposes and just album purposes, I just think that Drama was a perfect moment to end the album. That's just me. Because I still listen to Sometimes, because, you know, once again, produced by The Roots, and just the beat was just, I wish I had that instrumental. I wanted to rhyme to that. That joint makes me want to freestyle. Like, you know what I mean?
So yeah, we could end it right here. You know, with the discussion, it's a dope album. Definitely check it out. It has aged very well. It's funny because I've never heard, even the young people that I'm around. Like, sometimes I play it in my class, and my students will be singing along.
Oh, word.
Yeah, whether, you know, middle school, you know, when I was at Job Corps, like, they was like, oh, that's my joint, and I'm like, oh, okay, y'all know this. Like, all right, y'all know this. Like. And they're like, and they know the lyrics. It's not like they just know that they know the lyrics and they sing along. And that's always made my heart warm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest. Like, talking about this, it really makes me that sounds terrible. It makes me feel old, bro. Because it's like, I think it's like, oh, this album is 25 years old. Like, I remember when it was new, man. Like, I remember going to the store. I think I probably went to like DJ's Music and Video in like Hampton and Newport News. And like, you know, like I always did, and scooped the CD up, man. Like I said, I played it every Sunday. It was how I started or ended my day. Like,
Quick question. Not to cut you off. Is DJ still open? Because they had one in Norfolk. They had one in Virginia Beach, and they had one in Newport News, Hampton Road.
I know the ones on my side of the water are done. I think the one in Norfolk is still open. It might be. But I know. But that was my spot for everything.
For
vinyl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For albums or for CDs, whatever, I went there, man.
Mm-hmm.
But but yeah, it, like I said, I was like, man, 25 years, and I'm just thinking, like, yeah, I realized, like, my, you know, Naomi, oldest, she's 12, So to her, you know, 25 years ago is just something that I talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? 25 years ago is something that I, to me, is something that I lived.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, for whatever reason, I just kind of just never thought I'd make it this far. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that I'm here. And I'm glad that I got, you know, little time capsules like this to remind me of, you know, good times and you know, better times to come. You know what I mean? Because now, because like you said, like, you know, your students will sing along with it. Like, yo, it's something that something that we can share forever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because not every piece of music that dropped in 1997 is really worth talking about.
Oh, facts. You know what I'm saying? No, it's fine. There's stuff that I'm embarrassed. I'm like, oh, man, I listen to that. Like,
and so. And one more thing about Erykah Badu specifically, she's one of very few artists, and you might not agree, whose follow up blew the debut out the water. I don't care what nobody says.
No, I agree. I agree. Because Mama's Gun. Mama's Gun is my favorite.
Jesus Christ. Like, yeah, making me say, like, yeah.
Mama's God. Gun is my favorite Erykah Badu album. You know what I mean?
Straight up. Like, you know, I was surprised at how good it was.
Yeah,
like, you knew she won't go let you down, but I was just like, yo.
Yeah, it was. And that's the album that my daughter was born to.
Yeah, Mama's.
So that's a big, like, and that was like 3 years after. It was
2000.
Like, yeah, it was about a year after we were still playing it, like consistently. Like we were consistently playing it in the house.
Yeah, yeah. Mama's Gun came out 2000.
Yeah, we were consistently playing that. Like that's something that we just, you know, but Mama's Gun, like I can listen to that. Even the videos are dope. Those were the best. You know what I mean? And like, she doesn't put out no whack shit. She doesn't. And I agree.
Yeah, because most people are expecting the sophomore jinx, the sophomore slump or whatever. And she was just like, nah, watch what I do.
No, you're right.
Like, watch what I do, and I just as much as I love this album, this Baduism, man. Like I said, Mama's Gun.
That's one that I consistently play, you know what I'm saying. But that Mama's Gun is my joint. So I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying. So like, thanks again for reminding me.
Yeah, man.
Of these anniversaries, and then also being willing to get on.
Yeah, man. It was just an idea. I was just like, you didn't necessarily have to do it with me. I was just like, but I was just like, yo, you should talk to somebody because like, yo, I know you're like me. I know you revere Erykah Badu on a hot pedestal, man. Like, yo, like, so
yes,
she's worth celebrating. She's worth being talked about. She's worth listening. She's worth your time. She's worth your time. If you got money to buy a ticket to go see her live, go see her live.
And you know what's wild? My partner has seen her live 3 times. I have not. And that's because each time somebody, because her concerts are not cheap. Like each time somebody offered to pay her way, so they was like, "Oh, I'm gonna like, yeah, go ahead and go."
Yeah, but have fun.
I will say this. When we do Mama's Gun, it'll be me and her, and probably my daughter. So just to throw that out there. Yeah, just throw that out.
Right.
There. Yeah,
you're but yeah, the next generation is onto it now.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's beautiful though. You know what I'm saying?
So hey, thanks.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, you haven't seen her live at all?
I have not. I have not seen it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and your team day has seen it 3 times. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. She got 3 up on you, bro.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, because every time she came around, I remember I was like, damn, $100? I got to buy 2. You know, and I remember, like, and I had to get a sitter. And it's like, because everybody that I knew that babysat for us was going. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Nah. So then, like, what would happen is, every time they'd be like, "Oh, I got that ticket. You want to go?" And they would take her. And I was like, "Yeah, go ahead and go."
I'm gonna be honest. I was blessed. This is before children, and I saw her in Virginia. I saw her in Virginia Beach, but she wasn't the only one on the bill. So I was like, "Yeah, I'll pay that bread for that price."
Because I know she was at the Sugar Water.
That's what I saw.
Yutunde went to that. What happened was we went to buy the tickets for that, mm-hmm. but they were sold out, and somebody had an extra one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was her birth. It was like. I'm trying to remember what it was, and like, you should go. And I was like, you should go. Because it was Queen Latifah, Erykah Badu.
Flowetry,
yep.
And Jill Scott,
yep. And Erykah Badu. That was a killer, Bill.
I'll tell you
that
right, was a killer. Badu closed, and my God.
Yeah,
like, she had that one record, I Want You, where it's mm-hmm. chopped and screwed.
Yeah.
And she chopped and screwed it live. I said, she's the GOAT.
Wow. Tune tells me about it all the time. Yo, she'd be like, she said that's probably one of the best cons she's been to in her entire life.
It's definitely up there for me too.
But yo, thanks again. I appreciate you. Salute to you.
Yeah, for sure.
And definitely enjoy your summer, and we're gonna definitely do it again. I guess I'll probably be doing the Thor spoiler review with you.
Hey, man.
Definitely going to do that because, because Xavier won't be in town because we did the Doctor Strange spoiler filled review. So we're going to be doing a Thor spoiler filled review. What we'll probably do is we'll probably record that early and then bang that, then I'll release it, you know. So, yep.
Yeah, it's coming out, what, next week, right?
Yes, next Saturday. So, next Friday, but I'm going to go see it. No, not next, the following one. Not this Friday.
Yeah.
But we're going to see it that Saturday after it comes out.
Okay. So, definitely.
Yep.
For sure. But
thank you, sir. Once again, it was always a pleasure. Always an honor.
Thank you, man.
To have you on the show. Definitely. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you once again for listening to yet another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. I really appreciate y'all. If you want to book me for anything, a discussion, to be on your podcast, to do a workshop, let me know. You can just go to my website, omisbench.com, and you find all my contact information there. If you want to continue the discussion online on Instagram or Twitter, you can always use the hashtag Where My Killer Tape At, killer spelled K-I-L-L-A. And if you just want to holler at me, you can check me on my Twitters at DanTresOmi, DanTresOmi. Also, we have an official Twitter for the show, which is Omi's Podcast, OMIS Podcast. And you can definitely hit me up there if you want. Again, I appreciate y'all. In my link, you can also buy a coffee mug, right? That helps take care of the show because I definitely need the money. So once again, be safe. I'm going to check y'all out the next episode. Word.